I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adriana Soros.
Six again, two words no Raiders fan probably ever wants to hear. And I'm joined by the biggest Raiders nuffy of them all. Ado, how are we, mate?
Mate, I'm good. I would be lying if I said I'm over that. I was there at that game and I was so off my head at the prelim in Canberra. I went down to Canberra with the missus. And when we won, we beat Souths. I just, on the way out of Bruce Stadium, I was buying tickets and I just got first available and they were like, platinum diamond seating corporate box tickets to the grand final. They cost me like $1,500 each.
Fortune.
So I spent $3,000 to go to that grand final and it felt like it was just within my grasp. So yeah, six again, mate. I'm never gonna let it go. But yeah, look, last year we probably overachieved, got past the first week of the finals and up the milk. I love them.
I was sitting at the Star Casino in Sydney watching it at the sports bar, and I think I went to order a drink or something, and the place erupted, and I looked back up, and it took me 30, 40 seconds to work out what had happened, because they didn't have the commentary on, and it was just, yeah, just a picture. I had no idea what was happening, and yeah, still remember to this day. But, you know, you're a little bit more optimistic than I am of the Raiders this year. I've got them in ninth. Yep. I think you have them in one spot higher in eighth.
I do. Look, no one else in eighth last year, did they? But we made it. I've been the biggest criticizer in the world of Fogarty, but I've probably got to eat my words and say that a lot of it had to do with him being healthy and sort of just the calm head that he gave to the Raiders as the season went on. I think players like Hudson Young came of age once he got the eye gouging out of his game. I think the Raiders, I reckon this year, when you look at the draw and the friendliness of draw, I think they've got a friendlier draw than a lot of teams. And if they can just bank some of those games that they should be winning, even last year they didn't win. The couple they got robbed by the ref and they probably dropped a couple of games that they should have won. If they can actually win the games they should win this year and become consistent, I reckon, you know, they'll jag eight. But there's going to be an absolute traffic jam, I reckon, from about 12th to 8th, like there was sort of last year. And I think the Raiders are going to be in that pile.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Raiders. They always seem to lose the games that they needed to win. But I guess the emergence of one man, that is Joe Tarpany. He was absolutely sensational for Supercoach. He wasn't fantastic in the first sort of 12 weeks. He only had... in the first 12 weeks, he only had three scores above 60. And, you know, it was just round 12 against the Parramatta Eels. Scored a 73 and just went on an absolute tirade before the bye. You know, 73, 78, 95, 82, 94. Had the bye, came back and went 74, 73, 113. Set new heights for front row forwards in Supercoach. He was sensational at the back end. Did pick up a niggle, and I think you guys were down on troops and Ricky sort of had to play whoever had two walking legs, and he sort of ran out of steam a little bit there. But, you know, comes in, I would say, as the most premium option when it comes to front row forwards now that IPAP has lost his duel, and Tino's role is probably a little bit uncertain. I think Joe Tarpany takes that mantelpiece as, you know, that number one front row forward, and at 610K, it's a nice enough price for a bloke that we saw consistently put up 70-plus points at the back end of last year.
Yeah, look, us Raiders fans and Supercoach players for years and years and years have said if only Big Joey Taps had got minutes, and he got minutes last year, maybe because I think Papali'i had come off, he did less minutes. I think he's winding down in his career. He's getting less minutes. So, you know, there's talk about captain material and stuff for him. Joe Tappany, I think he's really taken that with, you know, he's taken it. He's ripped it and taken the responsibility and run with it, the minutes he's run with it. And we've lost Isaiah Papali'i out of front row, so I don't think he can get any better from Joey Taps. And I reckon, I don't even think that last year was an outlier. I think he's always been that player. He just never got given the minutes. He used to be a 40-minute forward. Even last year to start the year, he wasn't quite getting the minutes he was middle to sort of towards the end of the year. I reckon he's going to be just as good this year.
Yeah, it's pretty telling. For the YouTube viewers, you'll definitely be able to see the graphic, but you look at his score. So his scores year on year do fluctuate quite a bit, but you look at the minutes played per game, and that's what, you know, is fluctuating his minutes. Like back in 2018, he played 77 minutes a game, averaged 63. I'm assuming that was a lot of his younger days. 2020, he averaged 62 points, and that was when he played 57 minutes. And then last year, he averaged 66 points a game, where he played 51 minutes a game. The years where he has slumped, you know, 44 minutes and 41 minutes for a 39 and 55 average, respectively. So his average does drop when his minutes do drop, but he definitely is one of those forwards that has a motor. You guys have lost Adam Elliott as well, who was really, really good at getting a hand free in the tackle, getting the offloads happening. That is something Tarpany does bring to this Raiders side. But yeah, losing Adam Elliott, I think, is probably a tick for Joe Tarpany in my book.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know whether people are going to be splurging in the front row, but if you were, he's the guy, I think, for you this year.
Yeah, I would much rather pay, an extra $40,000 to get Tarpany over someone like a Haas. I'm a big, big fan. I'm also a huge fan of Hudson Young. Now, absolute breakout year for him last year, like scoring tries left, right, and center. Does start the year at $614,000. I think he averaged 67 from memory last year. Do you think he improves on that, or do you think we've sort of found Hudson Young's ceiling in Supercoach?
Yeah, I think he is priced at his maximum. I mean, the try scoring alone, if you think he can replicate that again this year, you know, you're probably optimistic. I think he's very talented, and I think he's probably learned off someone like John Bateman when he was there, how to be that great sort of attacking second row forward. I think he'll be just as good this year. I reckon he'll probably hover. He start at 614. He might go down to 550, 530, and then he'll go back up again. I don't know if there's going to be as many tries this year. I mean, even Nanai, people are going to be asking themselves, do I think he can replicate that again this year? In the case of Hudson Young, I think he's, you know, the max price. I can't see him getting up to 750 or 800, you know, like Isaiah Papali'i he got, just for consistency. And I just don't know if he's going to get as many tries as he got last year. That's just going to be a guess if you think he will.
Do you think he regresses at all, though? Or do you think if you're paying for a 67 average, that's going to be kind of what you get for him week in, week out?
Yeah, I think he won't drop much. I think he'll hold value pretty well. I think he'll still average above 60s, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, look, he was...
I mean, like, you've got him for 614. How much does Angus Crichton cost?
Yeah, it's something similar, I think.
So, I probably prefer Angus because he doesn't need all those tries, not as many.
Yeah, but I do like Hudson Young as a pod shout.
Yep, I do too.
Zig went other zag. Another thing is, you know, the uncertainty of the 13 jersey, and there's been some talk that Elliot Whitehead may fill in there, which, not that there was any concerns over Hudson Young's minutes, but I think that just all but helps him.
Yeah, I think he's locked into the 80-minute second row minutes. I mean, Ricky likes to play his second rowers for big minutes, and the thing with Elliot Whitehead is that he's starting to get to he's old. He's 33 now, I think. So maybe shorter minutes, 40 minutes at lock, and maybe C.A. Chen comes in and starts in the second row, possibly, or Horsburgh is very talented and probably got a little bit of ball play in him as well. So there's a little bit of unknown around there, and you know, how they line up for round one could bring, I mean, if CHN starts in the second row and they start with Elliot Whitehead at lock, we probably want to take a punt on CHN because we know he's talent in the past. So, and Corey Horsburgh is at a very good value as well. So if they start Elliot Whitehead in the second row and they go Horsburgh at lock, which is what I've heard, some rumors that he's been training a bit there. So if that's the case, it'll change the way people think about who they're going to go with.
A guy that averaged 77 points in his final three games of 2022, and you know, the man that you credit a lot of the success of the Raiders to is Jamal Fogarty. We're both not keen. We're both not keen on a 63 average. You know, he did average 59 in a woeful Titans team and then came to the Raiders and averaged 63. I just don't know if this gets better. I just think, like I said, he played really good footy last year, and I think he may sit around that 57 average, and you're losing 6 points of value when it probably, you know, the price tag that he's commanding at 574K is probably better spent elsewhere.
Yeah, I think so. You can spend up a little bit more and get yourself up to a real proper premium. He's not one of those ones that you own and sort of get ahead of other people with, you know, if you know what I mean. So I think, look, he's a good goal kicker, and I think he squeezed every bit of greatness out of himself and helped the Raiders a lot last year. You know, we'll have to wait and see how he goes this year, but I don't think it's going to be an improvement on average. I think it'd probably go down a little bit.
For an extra 20, an extra 30K, you can get Cherry Evans, who will be playing now with a fit turbo. You can go down to 544 and get a Sam Walker. Or if you really want to splash the cash, an extra 60K gets you up to Jerome Hughes. So he's just in a really awkward price point, I feel.
Mm. Yep, I agree.
You mentioned Josh Papali'i beforehand on the way down. I expect his Supercoach stocks to also trend on the way down. Priced at 539K, I just think this is exorbitantly overpriced for what we're going to get.
Yeah, I think so. It's just, you know, he's been such a great, great man for the Raiders. He's been such a great man for the NRL, for Queensland, for Australia, and even over now to you know, switching allegiances. He's been great. I just think he's getting older, and it's time for some others to take some extra minutes. He seems to always be putting his hand up to start off the bench and give some of these others bigger minutes and starts. Ricky openly says that he listens to them and trusts Josh Papali'i for guidance on who should be playing what and what he'd like to play. And I don't like that. I want to know he's going to play 50, 60 minutes or whatever. At the moment, it seems like he's erring on the side of, I'll start off the bench, put Horsburgh out there. And, you know, I don't think he's going to go and put himself up for more the older he gets, because he's getting old. He's played in the front row. He's played tough in the front row.
I'll just read you his minutes for the last 5 years: 67, 53, 53, 48, 47. So it is trending downwards.
Down.
Yeah. And, you know, it is selfless from Josh Papali'i. I think he's a very good mentor. But for Supercoach-wise, I know a lot of casual players will probably buy in because, you know, he is a name. But I'm just not seeing any value at all. We can keep listing the same names over and over again, but you spend 100K less in that 430, 440K price bracket in the front row. And I just think there's much, much more value there. Or even, you know, 70K more gets you up to Tarpany. So he's in a really weird middle ground. You know, he is a try scorer. He can find the line. But I think he is just going through the motions now with his game. He's no longer that explosive, you know, offloading forward anymore.
Yeah, and he's only going to have 45 minutes probably this year, so he's going to have to extract a lot out of that 45 to 47 minutes. So, nah, he's a no-go for me.
You're also not a fan of Clive Churchill winner, Jack Whiten, at 5'8 at 481K.
All my other NRL fans are like, call him Clive Churchill thief.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Big Jackie boy. Look, Jack is so... He's in the same class as Katoni Staggs. He's very fleety. And he does these moments in games where you're just like, Jack's a world beater. And on Sportsbet, you know, I know certain teams that Jack's going to just run over for that try close to the line, and I clean up on the old bets. But can you have him for Supercoach? How much extra money is Matt Burton, who's going to be goal-kicking in a team that's just bought Kickow and Marnie? You know, you can't go Jack White in the 5'8 position. No. He's just not going to he's not going to be consistent. He's not going to be better than some of these other guys who are much, much better value. And on for a better... score. They're on for a resurgence this year. They're going to improve. Improvers. If he's not going to get any better.
If you can't stretch the cash to go from Jack Whiten to Matt Burton, I'd rather save the 10K and go into a Luke Keary, who I think could have a bounce back second year post major injury. So I think there's some options that are outside Jack Wyden, as you said. He is a guy who, you know, a few times last year, you know, under 20 points a game. And Jack Wyden, for, you know, how enigmatic he is and how much excitement there is around him, never scored over 90 points last year in all of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Jack. That's just Wyden in a nutshell. You know, even if he's good, it's never going to be a big ton or a big 150. It's going to be 90.
No, he will be on 15 points in the 70th minute, and he'll have like a barge over run, but that will only get him up to 50, 60 points. So, not overly a huge fan of him, and I didn't include him, but I can understand why you have, you know, there's better options.
Not for Supercoach. You know, I love watching him as a fan. But I would never own him for Supercoach. And to be quite honest, it hasn't been in many years in the recent years that I've had a Raider that I could have in Supercoach. I didn't even own Tappany last year.
Would you own Corey Horsburgh, though? You know, big red, looking like he's going to play 13. 441K available front row forward and 2RF, so he does have that handy jewel.
Yeah, I mean, I have him in the Flegler character in the category. I reckon he's talented. Big red, as long as he's not getting upset out there.
Oh, poor bloke.
Poor bloke.
I remember that game that so tackle. Clear as day.
What a funny moment that was. But look, he is talented. I've heard in my Raiders circles that they like him at 13 just for the style. He's got an offload, a fend, you know, he's got a bit of ball play in him. Probably more than Elliot Whitehead, I reckon. More than CHN even. He kind of makes sense to me when you've got elite front rowers like Josh Papali'i. You know, Emre Guler off the bench is good too. You know, they've got lots of good front rowers, I think, to take that role. He could just jag in right from round one as in a 13 role for 441. So, look, stranger things have happened. I'm not going to say definitively that he's going to get the role, but if he lines up in round one, run on in the 13, he could just tempt a few people. He's just that kind of awkward, talented, you know, type of player, I think.
I think his stocks could be similar to someone like Jai Arrow last year. Very similar price bracket. You know, could get you 55 to 65 points a game pretty consistently. Worth noting, back in 2020, Corey Horsburgh did have his career high in minutes per game, which was 51, and he averaged 56. Price at an average of 48. Definitely could see him averaging 60 points if he does get the start, and that's 12 points of value. Anything over 10 points is absolutely huge in my eyes.
Yeah, and he's dual, which is nice and handy, particularly this year when we've seemed to have lost a lot of duels.
I guess when you say if he starts at 13, there's a big caveat as to, you know, who is going to take that mantelpiece. Another big, you know, talking point is Corey Hadawira-Naira. Available to RF 420K. He's someone with probably much more upside than Horsburgh, but he's also someone that, you know, is very prone to shifting into the centres if anything happens to one of the outside backs. That's the big concern over Corey Hadawira-Naira, that if, you know, Timoko goes down or Sebastian Chris goes down or a winger goes down, that everyone shifts out and Hadawira-Naira seems to be the guy that plugs that gap.
Yep, and if you're only in for Supercoach, that's a dagger in the heart, yep. That big time. And famously, you know, since he's been at the Raiders, he has those little bright brain explosion moments where he pisses Ricky Stewart off. So he's been the one player that has been on the wrath of Ricky, which is no one wants to be on. You know, and Tappany was on it a few years ago, and we thought that we might even lose him, us Raiders fans, but thankfully they made friends. That was when the old wife had a big whinge about Ricky. He has a tendency to piss off Stewart. You know, we know that his personality, he's had a bit of fun about him in the past. So, look, if he got the start, I'd be all over him at 420 on the talent that I know he's got. I reckon if he started even if they went with the Elliot Whitehead and CHN started in the second row at 420, I'd be all over him.
Yeah.
All over him.
Huge fan, huge upside. Someone that you put in here, make sure you mention Nick Kotrick.
Yeah.
You're in for a big Kotrick's bounce back?
Yeah, I think he's going to bounce back this year. Look, he made it to Origin at his pinnacle. He went to the Dogs, and wasn't that an absolute wretched thing?
That'll be like, I reckon that'll be like one of those pub trivia questions in like 10 years. Who played 15 games for the Bulldogs and did absolutely fuck all?
Yeah. Oh, Kotrick. And but anyway, he I mean, I follow him on all the socials, and he was actually, it was a bad injury that he copped there, and he felt it for a good two thirds of the year for the Raiders last year, where it didn't feel confident on it. It was the ankle or the whatever he's got. Can't remember off the top of my head, but so he was affected by injury, and late last year, I started to see him tackle breaking a lot more. Which is what, that's his bread and butter, isn't it? He's a tackle breaker, and he goes on those enormous runs, you know, where it's, you know, five or six tackle breaks, and he runs 30 meters up the field. He's priced at a 380K center wing only. I just reckon this year I could see him as somebody on a soft Raiders run. He might get up to 500 or more. I reckon a healthy Nick Kotrick is, he's a tackle breaker. Yeah. I think he could come good this year. Like how what he did to get to Origin level, I think he's, if he's healthy, he's better than 380K.
Probably not someone that I'm keen to start with round one, and fingers crossed from a Supercoach perspective, he has a quiet two or three opening weeks. Because you could definitely pick him up for sub 300, 270K, and then capitalize on one of those big Raiders, you know, runs, because he falls over the line a couple of times, he has some tackle busts, gets some line breaks. So I don't hate that shout at all.
Yeah, just a bit awkwardly priced, isn't
at
he?
At the moment, yeah. Yeah, yep. hopefully comes down to 300-ish.
Yeah, I think he might have a bounce back, but I don't know if I'm going to be splurging 380 on a player. You know, there's a lot of decent enough cheapies this year for you to start with.
Cheapies, you're the Raiders man. There's been a lot of chat and a lot of love from Raiders fans, and it looks like Trey Mooney's got a huge, huge future moving forward at the club. 205K available to RF only.
Yeah, look, I've heard good mail that he's going to be the one that comes in and takes a bench spot in the team. The thing is, I've just watched for years and years and years that Ricky's always blooded these newer players who haven't had a lot of first grade, and he has not put them under a minute's pressure. We're talking about Willison and Piacora. I think in their team, you know, Kevy's a bit of a lunatic. He might give them 30 minutes. I just don't know if I see that for Mooney. I think that he's talented, and I think he might get to the point where he's playing and deserves and earns those extra minutes. But Ricky's probably going to play second rowers for 80 minutes. Tappany's probably going to play fair minutes. Where are the minutes there for him to have loads of minutes?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised to see, say come round 18, round 19, one teamless Tuesday, you and I check in and we see Trey Mooney there in the 13, but that probably won't be for the first 5 to 10 rounds.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw him starting in the 16 jersey in round one at 205K, would you take a punt? I don't know if you would.
It'd depend on our Broncos boys that we spoke about yesterday as to, you know, what minutes they look like getting. But look, just quietly, I think we're pretty blessed for cheapy talent in the 2RF this year. There's a few names that we'll chuck up throughout the previews.
Yeah, in the 200s. And he's one of the ones who I think has a bit of talent about him. Like, you know, the people in Brisbane will say Piacora has been spoken about with a bit of talent. Down in Melbourne Storm there, they've got old mate being paid $500,000, hasn't even played yet.
Yeah, there's plenty of young talent getting through the second round. Hopefully they will flourish for Supercoach Docs. But that's going to wrap it up for the Raiders preview. Just to remind everyone, I've got the Milk in ninth. Ado's got them in eighth. You know, we're not too far apart there. We're both really big fans of Joe Tarpany. Obviously, we both think he's the best front row forward option. Hudson Young could be a very, very sneaky shout in your 2RFs. We're staying away from Jack White and Josh Papali'i and Jamal Fogarty. And, expect big things from Horsburgh, CHN, whoever gets the 13 there. And Ado, he's very much on board the Nick Kotrich bandwagon.
Yep.
All aboard. We will see you tomorrow for, I think we're going to do my boys, the Tigers.
Tigers. What a big year. Fuck you, John Bateman.
There'll be plenty of John Bateman chat tomorrow, but sit tight, and it might be a longer one than the last 2 days.
Cheers, guys.
See you tomorrow, guys. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.